Thessalonians, so got a handout here. Is this your week?
Yeah.
All right. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, coming to a conclusion. One more message after this on the book of 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, so we've gone through 1 and 2 Thessalonians, basically, and we'll be looking at the verses here, 6 through 15, lengthy section. Kind of an unusual section here, but it fits the context, obviously, and this has to do with church life while waiting for the rapture. Okay, so we're in this section here. Be picking it up in verse 6 here in just a few minutes. But once again, we're going over this book here. And so there were certain things relative to the Thessalonians. There were their difficulties. Then the day of the Lord, extensive section here. And now Thessalonians and discipline, 6 through 15. So this relates to reactions to Paul's teaching about the rapture. There were several reactions to his teaching about the rapture back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Somebody wrote a false letter saying that they were already in the tribulation. And others apparently thought that the imminence of the imminent return of Christ was so near that they could give up work, or maybe they weren't even working, employed. So this is dealing with people who became lazy. This has nothing to do with individuals who cannot find employment or are unable to have employment. We're not talking about those individuals. We're talking about people who could have employment but purposefully decided to be idle and cause problems in the church. So, anyway, we're going to look at this in verse 6 and following. So the outline is, first of all, Paul's command. He gives a command here in verse 6. Then verses 7 through 12, he gives the circumstances concerning the command. And then finally, he gives the challenge in verses 13 through 15. So the command, the circumstances, and the challenge. All right, so the premise here is a global dictator is coming. We know that. The stage is set. Props are all in place. He will control the West and demand the North, South, and East dictators submit to submission, which they will reject. So we've gone through all that. But until the rapture, believers need to be faithful servants of the Lord. So we don't stop serving the Lord while we're waiting for the Lord to come back. This is the time when we need to be focused on service of the Lord, live for Him, and realize that at any moment we could be in His presence. So this is the time to be involved here. So in verse 6, Paul gives a command here. And so he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." All right, so right away he gets involved with his command here. So we look at the word here. And this has to do with a present command. So it's a present command. We are commanding you. Now, prior to this, the point up there, work, hard physical work is part of this creation because of sin. So we work, and we have to work hard in life. Because of the fallen world. And so we see the foundation of this back in Genesis chapter 3. So we don't want to take these verses for granted. And that we're very familiar with them. But here, as the Lord begins to deal with Adam, he says in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. There's a curse that follows. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So Adam's sin brought work, hard work, curse upon the earth and so on, into the world, along with many other things, but certainly this is the result of that. So work is the curse from sin. And in our lives, no doubt some period in our life, maybe all of our life, we've had to do some hard work, hard physical labor, and or hard mental labor, but primarily this time of physical labor. So man has the individual responsibility before God. So the Lord made Adam individually responsible for his life, and Eve as well. And so as they are there together, and then when they sinned, after sin, they had no one to blame but themselves. So the Lord expects every person to have individual responsibility. Be responsible for ourselves. Now, Proverbs deals with this. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 12, Solomon said this. And 24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So people that won't work will be enslaved. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoopeth, but a good stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduce them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. So think of this, a man goes out to hunt, he catches something, but he goes to hunt to eat something, but he catches it, and then he doesn't eat it. He doesn't make food out of it, and so on. So that's the idea. So the Lord has allowed us to be involved in work, hard work in life, and so on. And so the old nature doesn't like hard work. Doesn't like hard work. We like being lazy. We like just laying around, being lazy, and doing nothing. After a while, that gets kind of boring, but that's why I heard anyway. Anyway. So he gives a command here, a present command, and it's a command of anti-idleness. So in the first part of here, we see the reaction in 6a. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the command and the reaction there. He says that ye withdraw yourselves. So here's the withdrawal. Withdraw yourselves from every brother. So notice that the what is to avoid or withdraw. It's found twice in the New Testament. Withdraw or avoid. And who? Every brother. So every brother here is referring to a church member of the Thessalonian church. So this is a local church issue. It's not somebody way over on the other side of the world. Some believer over there has to do with a church member. Church member. There's a reaction and the reason for this. So he goes on to say here, from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. All right, so the walking disorderly, here's the word, atoktos, found two times, but it has to do with a soldier walking out of step or rank. And so you can envision soldiers when they're walking in order and file and so on, and their right foot's forward, and then their left foot back and forth. It's all looks nice and smooth, like a well-oiled machine, but if somebody's out of step, it becomes very, very obvious. So he's using this term here, but in this case, it has to do with walking. Of course, walking, so you need to walk in step and not out of step. And walking out of step or out of rank. So there in Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul indicates, using this military term, he indicates in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we are in the Lord's military or the Lord's army. He says there in 2 Timothy 2, 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that no man warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we are Christian soldiers, as it were, in war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the Lord, in our assembly, wants us all to be walking in step, all in order. And we like to see the precision of military men walking in step and so on. We like to see that. And that's great. But we'd like to see that in local church as well. Everybody's walking in step. Everybody's going the right direction. Everybody's being orderly and not disorderly. So Paul uses the term here and brings it in this way. So he says that that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So the tradition here has to do with handing over. Paradosis is the word there, so give over literally what it means here. But the tradition, or that's been given over by Paul. So Paul gave biblical instruction. This is not human tradition, this is biblical tradition. So now in Mark 7, Scripture talks about man's tradition. But here we're talking about biblical tradition, biblical teaching, biblical truth out of the Word of God. And so those are not walking after tradition, which he gave here. Now the background on this is back there in chapter 4, where he talks about, in verse 11, we'll revisit the passage, but this gives some background on this, 4:11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So here's the command. Here's the command about which he's speaking here. And so receiving this teaching. So this comes right before the passage on the rapture, but the point here is you need to continue to be personally responsible with yourself, with your employment, with your Christian life, with your church, with everything, personally responsible. So that's the command that he's given here. And so now he gets into the circumstance that brought about the command. So the circumstance found here in verse 7 through 12, he first of all gives the example here. It says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. So Paul begins to indicate he's an example here. Through verse 9, he says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So here his example was to follow. It was for them to follow. So he says, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. So who was Paul? Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He won them to the Lord. He then he began to teach them the Word of God. So he had authority over them to order them to follow him. Now, this is not the first time he's said something like that, but notice the verb there, follow, memaomai, means literally to mimic. So we can see the word mimic could possibly come out of that. So the believer is to mimic Paul. He's to mimic Paul. in his conversion experience and mimic Paul in his service experience. So he needed to train these pagans, these heathens that came out of Thessalonica, who before this had knew nothing about the Judeo-Christian faith. And he had to train them, teach them the Word of God and how to live. And so they were to mimic him. So as your parents sometimes have to do this with your children, and you just say, well, at the dinner table, we sit at the dinner table, we have the silverware on one side of the plate, and the plate here, and the glass, and this is how you do things. And so you just mimic, you imitate what I'm doing here, you know, or whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. And so that's what he was saying to them. You need to mimic me, because this hasn't been your life. You've never done this before. You don't know anything about Christianity and how to behave as a redeemed person. So you need to mimic me, follow us. And so we have the word there. And Paul indicated there in 1 Timothy, page over from where you are, 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says in to the Ephesian church, to Timothy at the Ephesian church, in verse 16, he says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul indicates, my testimony of conversion is a pattern for your, for you to gauge your conversion off of, my pattern. And then in our passage, he says, after you've used, mimicked me in my conversion, as it were, that, you need to mimic me in my sanctification. So that's the idea that he's giving here. He's the pattern. He's the one that needs to be copied, followed. Now, obviously not just in a manual way. I mean, there has to be the spirituality that's involved there, but here he is the example to them. Now, the example exhorted here, for instance, he says at least in two places in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 16, he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So here he has to tell the Corinthians, you be followers of me. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the other passage, that to the same church, yes, say this again. 11:1, be ye followers of me, even also, even as I also am of Christ. So this is how Christ lived his life on earth, what he commanded to Paul. Paul then follows Christ, and then the believer is to follow Paul, who's following Christ. So we're not following a man, we're following the Lord, but we're following the Lord through the scripture that the Lord gave Paul to write to us. So we follow the pattern here. So the example exhorted. Secondly, the example explained. So now we're back to our passage. In verse 8, it says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So he makes this very clear here. He's explaining the example. His example. Did not eat for naught or for nothing. He didn't freely take. The freely is negated here. So neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. He purposely said, I'm not going to take food from anyone or in other places or payment. I'm purposely going to work for myself to demonstrate that I'm not a false teacher or something like that, but also to show my responsibility. I don't want to put a burden on the people at this point, it's indicating here. And so he brought their bread. So, eat any man's bread for naught but rot, the labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Now, certainly Christians probably would have wanted to give him a meal or have him over, something like that. But I don't know if he's saying he would deny anything like that, but he wasn't a freeloader. He wasn't there just to mooch off of them. And then he gets done there, I'll go to the next town and mooch off of them, and next one. He definitely didn't want to be expressed that way. So, little slogan there, bread bought not for naught, but through work wrought. There you go. That's a bumper sticker. That's a bumper sticker for you. I put that on the... anyway. But he wrought labor and travail. Now, back in 1 Thessalonians, he uses this language. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So he says there, it's the same church earlier. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. So he worked day and night. So this involved his tent making. And in Acts chapter 20, he indicates when he worked with his hands to support himself as well as his colleagues, like Silas and Timothy and others. So he had the opportunity for employment. He probably made fairly decent money. He could support some of the missionaries that were with him and so on. So he worked hard, worked around the clock, as it were, and so on. So he's trying to demonstrate an example here. So the example exhorted, the example explained, and then the example empowered. Verse 9. He said there, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So the word power here is translated at least one time as liberty or authority or privilege, something like that. Not because we have not liberty, you might say, or power. So he had liberty to expect remuneration. And he deals with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Pastors have the expectation to be remunerated for their ministry. In the Old Testament, the priests did. New Testament, pastors did. And he defends that, but for himself personally, he had the decision. He made the decision. He wanted to be an example to them, he says, for them to follow. And that is to work hard, hard worth his hands. So there he had the privilege, 1 Corinthians 9:4, I mentioned the passage there. He had the privilege to have remuneration, and he defends other pastors for that. Then there's the picture, the tupas, the type. That's the word behind example there, to make ourselves an example or a type in all of this. Now, if you recall back there in 1 Thessalonians, once again, the word shows up there. And in verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, so that ye were examples, same word, tupas, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So here at this point, some of the individuals of the church understood him as an example to them. They followed the example. Then they began to minister to other churches, and then they became examples for other churches. So you see how that multiplies. If we follow a biblical example, then somebody sees us, they'll want to follow that biblical example as well, and it passes on. So that was Paul's point. But nevertheless, in the congregation, he found out there were some who were not following along like they should have been doing, like they were not mimicking Paul at this point. All right, so there's the example. Then there's the expectation. I already read the passage, but it's 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, that some were not working. They were not walking honestly and so on. So there's the expectation. We'll come back to that one more time. And then the sin in verse 11 and 12. So we're now back in chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, and the sin. So he says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. So here he indicates three things going on here, three sins. First of all, we hear there are some which walk among you, church members, disorderly. Or here's our word showing up again, atactos. They're out of rank. They're not following along. They're over here on the side. They're not doing what they should be doing. And so he's heard that. In verse 11, we hear. Then he goes on to say, working not at all. They were idle. So the word for idle there, as a verb there, being idle, ergazomai, found 39 times. It's really an infinitive here, but means to work. But then he negates it, to work. They're not working. So the action needs to be working, but they're not working. So he says, some are not working. And then he goes on to say, and all this is compounded together, that they're busybodies. Well, there's your word, busybody. So if you look at the Greek word there, if you look at verse four letters, peri, P-E-R-I, all right? That's the preposition. Then the rest of the verb is the same that I just gave you, ergazomai. So peri ergazomai. They're working around. That's what that means. They're working around, but they're working around working. They're working around working. They're busy. They're really very, very, very busy about not working. That's what he's saying there. Ever known somebody like that? Very, very busy. How can I get out of work today? I'm going over here. I'm running over here. I'm doing this. But, you know, busy, busy, busy about not working around everyone else's business. So they're not working around what they need to do, but they're working around what everybody else's life is all about, their business. King James gives a good statement there. Busy body. They're busy bodies. So they're bodies who are busy getting into everybody else's business. And so they're working hard at not working, except working to find out what everybody else is doing, what their lives are all about, their busybodies. So, application here. Well, where'd this come from? Spending all day on Facebook. I had to put that in there, you know. I know nothing about this, but anyway, but my wife and I know several people, probably think the same one, who is a busybody on the Facebook. Absolutely busybody. They know, as a believer, they know about every church, every Christian, everything's going on, and knows all about their life. And, you know, they just sit down, they start talking. Oh, this person did this, and this is there, what's going on there, and this person over here, and really? I mean, where do they get that? Off of Facebook or other media and so on. So there's a place for all these things. But if you get under conviction about any of this, then make a change. I mean, is that what life's all about? Keeping up with what everybody else is doing and so on? I mean, there's a place for some of this, general interest, I guess, but spend hours and hours on Facebook just checking everything out, everybody out. And so, but that's allowed because we back up. They're idle. People have a lot of time on their hand. What do? play around their phone. And they have a lot of hands on, a lot of time on their hands. They're probably not working. So not working, idle, busybody. See how it comes together here. And so anyway, this is what Paul's talking about there. He would probably preach the same message if he lived in 2023. What do you think? Anyway, he's centuries ahead of Facebook. Think of that. Anyway, verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So that's the solution here. Basically, he's saying, mind your business. You don't need to get into everybody else's business. And why do you have time to get into everybody else's business? That's part of the issue here. So mind your business. Quietness, he used the term quietness, azukiai, found four times here, but the idea is, take care of yourself, be responsible for yourself, mind your business, be quiet. You don't need to you don't need to be the town gossip off of Facebook telling everybody what all's going on in the world. All right, so the solution is mind your business and then find a job. So there in verse 12, with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So how are you going to eat your own bread? Because you have employment to buy your own bread. That's how. Or make your bread or whatever. So mind your business and find a job. And do something. This will help your psuche. This will help your character. We're in a fallen world, and so there can be the positive side of hard work, and that is it develops character. And you work hard, you find some satisfaction in working hard at something, and you've accomplished it, and you can look at it, by God's grace, I was able to accomplish whatever it was, and so on. But those people who could be working and resist employment and so on, then this impacts their character. They're just looking for handouts all the time. And they live in a world where I want people to give to me. I become a victim of the world system, so everybody has to help me out and so on. And this is not beneficial. People without character will sell out themselves for anything. That's what happens in our society. We've got a socialistic society, especially here in Connecticut, so people sell out. You know, I'd rather just stay home and get paid for when I could be working. Now, I realize some can't, and I'm not dealing with all that. But anyway, here Paul says, for the Christian, a verse you all know, but we have to make sure it's still in our Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58, where he says there, to the Corinthian church, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So notice that. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. See, these are positive characteristics that you can carry in your life in any task you're undertaking. In a fallen world, there will always be difficulties. If you give up with the difficulties, then you don't have much of a character. You have to fight through the difficulties and work through there and find, do the will of God. So be steadfast. Steadfast. This is why faithful Christians and churches are good employees. They're steadfast. They go to work. They work hard. They're diligent. They're concerned about disappointing the Lord. And then secondly, disappointing the boss, but they're serving the Lord there. See? And so, then this service that you do as a Christian, and anything that you do, you will find a reward for that. He says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So whether you're working in the local church or in your employment or elsewhere and so on, You need to live as a Christian and do your service to whomever, the underlord or the overlord, for the glory of the Lord. So, Paul gives this teaching, this solution. He'd already given it to the Thessalonians. Now, keep in mind what Paul teaches in 1 Thessalonians about the rapture. He taught in every other church, but it's brought out in this book. What he teaches here about laziness for the Thessalonians, he taught that to every church and all the heathen pagan Gnostics that came out of the world where the churches were started. Remember, the philosopher on the island of Crete said that all the Cretans were lazy and so on, gluttons. And so that's the world in which they came, Christianity came. And then he gives a challenge. So when this goes on in a local church, in verse 13 to 15, here's the challenge. First of all, verse 13 says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." So here, the weariness comes. The weariness comes when having to deal with problem people in the assembly. Be not weary. Those that walk disorderly, have to deal with them on a regular basis. Those that are walking disorderly, have to talk to them and worry about this. Why can't everybody just be in line here and we all walk in orderly fashion? No, somebody's always got to be out of order. And so this can get wearisome. I mean, we're trying to move forward as an army for Christ, and somebody's over here, and then we got to slow down, deal with that. Then we get going, somebody's over here, you know, and it can be weary. It can be weary for the church member. It can be weary for the pastor. So there's the action. He says, be not weary. All right, so we need to work on don't be weary. Be not weary in well-doing. Secondly, there's the shamelessness in verse 14. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, that's what he just talked about. If anybody's purposely on lazy, idle, not wanting to work when he could work or she could work or whatever the situation would be, and is a busybody, so if you find out somebody's like that, he gives some instruction here. First of all, signify him. That's what the word there, note, means in verse 14. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Signify him. And have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So here, signify him, separate from him, and shame him. That's what Scripture says there. Not sure how often I've seen this work out, but this is what the Scripture is saying here. And of course, I think this would be very, very temporary, because it would be very awkward, I think. But that's what he's indicating here. So he says that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So here, the admonishment, he's not an enemy. He's not an enemy. Now, Paul says in 4:16 of Galatians, am I an enemy because I tell you the truth? So we don't want enemies in the church, obviously, but admonish him as a brother. So he's a church member. He's a brother. This is pre-church discipline. Pre-church discipline. And admonish him. Here's our nuthetō verb. has to do with counseling him. Counsel him as a brother. So this is the instruction. And this is what we, I think, occasionally try to do, is talk to somebody who we see is disorderly and just pull them over the corner in church or something, maybe have a little casual talk and say, how you doing? We've missed you, and can I help you anyway, and so on. And Paul is wants to reclaim these individuals and get them back in order here, and this is pre-step one in church discipline. Be very temporary, especially in the shunning. And then if this doesn't help, then you go into step one, step two, and step three, and so on. So these are the instructions here. So everybody is responsible for themselves. We need to have that. Human responsibility. I'm responsible for myself to take care of myself. I'm responsible to help myself physically, mentally, spiritually. I'm responsible. And so I can't blame others and say, no, I'm a victim and I can't do anything and people have to help me out and so on. We have an irresponsible society today, and it's been a planned effort here to destroy the character of people and so on. And when their character is destroyed, then they will be bought out for anything, bought out by anything. We need to have strong character. I think the churches like ours, where we preach on this and require character and character traits and so on, that we're the last stop for just the destruction of our country and society, I think, in many cases, because we try to develop character here, and other churches do like ours, whereas those without character are easily run over, are easily run over. And so Paul gives a challenge here. So be careful, somebody starts shunning you. So, but don't get in that position, and learn what the Lord has to say here to us all, that we keep focused on Him, work for Him, and work hard about working, not work hard about idleness. So, conclusion, the old nature is lazy. We realize that every morning when we wake up. Where's that alarm clock? Five more minutes. Five more minutes. That's all I need, five more minutes. How many times we do that? Anyway, and then man needs to take care of self with individual responsibility. So that's the important thing. We focus on ourselves and try to be a responsible people for the Lord. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. Thank you for the instruction that Paul has given us here. I pray that our church shall be strong and be a strong army for thee, and we'll walk in order, and that we'll deal with all these things in our hearts and lives, and help us to be focused on thee, we pray. Bless in the prayer time now, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.